This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Snap to Williams. Back in three. He's going to try and run. And he is engulfed again. Sack number 5 for the Lions. Za'Darius Smith back on the field. Time is ticking away. Down to 25 seconds. The Bears are out of field goal range. They have one timeout. It's third and forever. Williams at the line, tapping his head. We're down to 15 seconds here. Caleb Williams out of the shotgun, third and long. Time is moving. Gotta go under 10 seconds now. Oh my goodness. Back to Williams. He's ready to throw. He'll throw it down the middle of the field. Incomplete at the horn. The game is over. The Bears won't even get to fourth down. They leave Detroit with a timeout in their pocket. And the Lions, for the first time since 16, have won on Thanksgiving. 23-20, the final score. How in the world can that happen?
You're listening to Rami Makhlouf, Hub Arkish, on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
On a Friday morning, a Black Friday, I am Rami Makhlouf along with Hub Arkish, and the Bears bringing new meaning to Black Friday. Hub, with finding a new way to lose yesterday on Thanksgiving against the Detroit Lions. We're happy to be with you this morning, and we want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. If you're up early to go out, get shopping, if you're waiting in line to get into the local Target or whatever department store, JCPenney, wherever it is you do your shopping, or you're driving around in the car, Hub and I want to hear from you, Bears fans, at 312-644-6767. We'll hear from Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL veteran, CHSN NFL analyst, coming up at 7:20. Brad Biggs will join us at 8:40. Of course, listeners to this time slot, very familiar with Brad Biggs, who covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune, and Brian Baldinger of NFL Network, Fox Sports, and of course, Odyssey NFL Insider. He'll join us coming up at 9 o'clock. So we'll have this Bears' latest heartbreaking loss covered. Nobody better to be alongside this morning after something like that than Hub Arkish. How are you this Friday morning?
Well, I'm doing fine.
You still full? You still full with the turkey and the stuffing and another Bears loss?
I was too sick to eat, so.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding. Almost that sick, though. You know? I mean, Robbie, I have been doing this for a little over 45 years now, and I have seen more things in the last 3 weeks that I cannot explain than I've seen in the first 45 years.
In 11 days. In 11 days. It hasn't even been 3 weeks because of the short week. In the last 11 days, Bears fans have suffered three of the more heartbreaking losses of recent memory because this season came with expectations. You couldn't be this heartbroken the last 2 years given where this Bears team is at, what they were trying to accomplish. This season came with expectations, and whatever little flicker of hope there was for you 12 days ago before the Packers game has completely gone out, and in the most heartbreaking and dramatic fashion, week after week after week, including what we just heard on Odyssey Sports from Jason Benetti. Also, you heard that right here on 670 The Score. That was, like you said, Hub, you've seen a lot more football than I have. I've never seen anything like that. I was sitting on my couch for 30 seconds going, what are you doing? What are you doing? What? Just over and over again. What are you doing? And then for another 30 seconds after the game ended, I was sitting on my couch going, what just happened? What just happened? What just happened? There were a few things I can't say on the radio in between those words, but that, like, I still can't wrap my head around what I watched yesterday on Thanksgiving. It almost ruined my appetite. It didn't. I ate a lot, Hub. It didn't ruin my appetite, but it almost ruined my appetite what I saw yesterday in that game.
Well, and I think that's why everything has stayed so quiet until now. We know that.
Yes. By the way, Matt Eberflus is still employed. We should tell people that throughout the morning. To our knowledge, Matt Eberflus is still employed by the Chicago Bears. If anything changes, I assume Hub Arkish, one of the most veteran on the beat, would be one of the first to know that. And you'll know it as soon as we know it. But as of now, Matt Eberflus is still employed by the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, and I've been able to learn a few things by checking with sources and everything and working through it all night. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, one thing I can report as a long-term member of Bears media, I get all of the information from the Bears about, you know, meetings, about press conferences, about, you know, what's happening next. And we get them usually within 6 to 10 hours latest after a game. Nothing since last night. Nothing from the Bears about a media report, about, you know, a press conference, about anything. But I believe I know the answer, because I don't think they know. They haven't decided yet. They were as shocked as we were at the way the game ended, and know that they can't give us another week of, well, we're getting there, things are getting better. But they, I don't think they know what to do right now. I don't think there's any question at this point that Flus is probably done as the Bears head coach after this season. But now, whether that's now or whether there's any point in doing that now, or you just wait until the end of the season, is, I think, what they're trying to figure out right now.
But the fact that you haven't received any correspondence from the Bears about any media availability day after a game, that's different, right? That's weird. That's out of the ordinary, isn't it, Hub?
At 1:30 or 2 o'clock this morning, I was going back through my email back the last 5, 6, 8 weeks to try and see. No, every week after a game,
okay,
I get information from the Bears about the schedule.
Now,
about
I'm just thinking of reasons why that might be. Okay, when was the last time they were on Thanksgiving? Is there any change or difference in policy on a holiday weekend when they play on Thanksgiving in terms of the next day media availability or press conference? Has that ever been a different schedule, or do you remember anything being different about it in the past when they played on Thanksgiving or a holiday?
I cannot remember a single time after a game where they haven't sent out the information to the media about, this is the schedule as to when you're going to have press conferences, about when we're going to talk to you, about when you're going to learn more. Nothing.
That's odd.
Well, it isn't all that odd. I think it's pretty obvious. I don't think they knew, what do we do next? You know, and I knew they were leaving town and getting on a plane and all that. But even on the plane, you know, they're talking about what's going to happen. I mean, I've ridden on those planes. I did for 17 years doing their broadcasts. And I just think in this particular case, I went out of my way to I was able to find them. Mm-hmm. Matt Eberflus's press conference after the game and Caleb Williams. You know, they were pretty similar to recent press conferences, but what they were saying sounded logical to them. I'm sure that was the plan, But it just didn't make any sense. What were they doing those last 32 seconds?
I'm glad you said that. You got to watch all the press conferences. I'm sure a lot of other people just wanted nothing else to do with the Bears on their Thanksgiving after the way that game ended. And so maybe if you're up early on a Friday, you just went on with your Thanksgiving, tried to forget what just happened, and you didn't hear what people had to say about the way that that game just ended, including Matt Eberflus himself. But we'll get to that in just a second. I wanted to hear from some of the players first. Here's Caleb Williams talking about that sequence and no timeout being called after he gets sacked and it's third down with 32 seconds left to go and they're down by 3 points. Here's Caleb Williams.
What was the decision between you and Matt of the communication to not take a timeout after you had about 32 seconds left in the game?
You know, I'm on the field. I got a call, and I know I took a timeout earlier in that. Was it same drive? Same drive. I knew I took a timeout earlier, and so, you know, I can take timeouts, but in that situation, we had a call. I got the call in, and you know, trying to get the guys back. So focused on make sure everybody gets back, gets lined up. I know we don't have much time left, and so. Trying to get everybody back. You know, we don't really have, I don't have a microphone to speak to coach or anything like that. So there wasn't like any huge communication in that situation. You get a call with that time. You got to try and get the guys back, get everybody lined up so you go run a play. And excuse me. You know, we got lined up, got the play. Then, you know, I made an adjustment because I saw the clock running down knowing that if we complete a ball in, you know, inbounds or anything like that, we won't have time to kick a field goal or anything like that. So, you know, I made adjustment knew Rome was either going to be 1-on-1 or he was going to, you know, beat the safety and be 1-on-1 there. And, you know, I tried to give him a shot and we got the shot and missed.
The important part of that soundbite to me is at the beginning where he says, I'm basically in that position. I'm not the one to call the timeout. He said, you know, I did earlier, but in that position, I'm just getting the call and I'm executing the call. Not really for me, the rookie QB, to call the timeout there is how I interpreted what he was saying. Was that what you were picking up there, Hub?
That was a big part of it, but I think the more important part happened a few seconds earlier than that when he reminded us he did call a timeout. You know, a few minutes or a minute or two earlier or whatever. And so I think one of two things happened there. I don't think he got in trouble for it, but I think that maybe Flus didn't want him to take that timeout.
He said, we have one more. It'll be me who decides when we take it.
Well, yeah, I think when he called that one, they may have had two. I don't know. But anyway, I think the point is he was told not to do that.
Okay.
I'm guessing he was told, maybe not. You know, I don't know why he, but that was the one thing that popped up. The second thing that popped up is Flus was trying to communicate with too many different people at the same time, or Williams wasn't hearing anything. But I think the reason he didn't call that timeout the last 32 seconds is because he may have been told he shouldn't have called the last one that he told us he took. And that's that can happen, you know.
Exactly.
But there is no explanation for those last 32 seconds, not doing anything.
We'll get to Matt Eberflus's explanation in just a second. But again, and we do want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Rami Makhlouf, Hub Arkish with you after a Thanksgiving Day blunder by Matt Eberflus and the Chicago Bears. Here's DJ Moore talking about no timeout being called after the sack on the previous play.
What's going through your mind in those final 30 seconds? Like, did you think you guys were going to call a timeout to run another play?
Yeah, at the same time we didn't, had a call already on the field, so really wasn't a timeout going to be called once we got the call on the field, so it is what it is.
So yeah, I thought we would, but we didn't. Here is his counterpart, wide receiver Keenan Allen, talking about why they didn't call a timeout.
How is it rationalized that there's no timeout called? How can that possibly be rationalized?
You got to talk to the people who control those things. I hear the play and I line up and run the play. So I don't know.
So the complete confusion in the locker room afterwards as to why a timeout would not be called there. And I'm laughing because there's nothing you can do but laugh when everybody, including the people involved, are looking around going, "Yeah, I don't know either, man. I'm with you. I don't understand what happened here either." So okay, Hub, I'm not an NFL head coach. I've never been an NFL head coach. Surely other NFL head coaches could explain what Matt Eberflus was doing there. Here's a guy who's won a couple games, Jimmy Johnson on Fox after the game. Jimmy, you can tell us what happened, right?
In 70 years of coaching at all three levels, I've never seen dysfunction that cost a team an opportunity to win the game.
Wow.
Obviously, he's got a rookie quarterback, and different teams do it different way. I handle clock management and timeouts. Sometimes the quarterback and the coach does it. Sometimes the coach has a coach in the box talking to him about clock management. But when Eberflus saw that they were off track and there was dysfunction, he should have called timeout. He says he wanted to communicate to the rookie quarterback to throw an out route, stop the clock, then call the timeout.
They did. In 70 years of all three levels coaching, Jimmy Johnson has never seen dysfunction like that cost a team an opportunity to win a game. 70 years. Okay, Jimmy couldn't explain it. Another Super Bowl winning head coach, Bill Cowher on CBS. Surely he can tell us what was going on there, right, Bill Cowher?
I think it's just two times Matt Eberflus, I think, has froze at the end of a game, because with this game, this play right here, 33 seconds, you call timeout. You have a third down and 26. All you can do is run another play short of it, get in field goal range, and you have plenty of time to run your field goal team on to kick a field goal to go in overtime.
There's no question. That timeout is going to happen at 32 seconds.
Yeah.
The next play is going to take somewhere between 5 and 7 seconds. You're going to have 25 seconds to run your field goal unit out onto the field. Plenty of time. Plenty of time. This is unacceptable.
Yeah.
From the head coach position, your responsibility is to not panic in critical situations, to put your team in the best opportunity to win games. That's a massive, massive fail by Matt Eberflus.
And that was Matt Ryan on the back end there. So inexplicable, unexcusable, yet Matt Eberflus tried to explain and make excuses as to what happened after that game. Here is his explanation, in case you haven't heard it and got as infuriated as I did at about 3 a.m. today when I woke up to read and get ready for the show this morning. Here's Matt Eberflus after that decision.
At the end, when you saw the clock tick down under 10, why didn't you call timeout?
Yeah, so right there, we liked the play that we had, and we were hoping that he was going to call it get the ball snapped, and then we would have called timeout right there. But once it's under 7 there, then you call timeout there, then you're basically throwing the ball to the end zone. Because once it's under 12, you can't throw it inside with no timeout. And it was third going into fourth, so that's a big deal. So it was third going into fourth. That's why we wanted to preserve the timeout.
So in retrospect, how should you have handled the final sequence?
Yeah, I like what we did there. Again, once it's under 7, you're gonna call timeout there, or actually under 12, and then really you don't have an option. Because it's third to fourth, you got to throw it into the end zone then. So to me, it's I think we handled it the right way. I do believe that you just re-rack the play, get it in bounce, and call timeout, and that's why we held it, and didn't work out the way we wanted it to.
I like what we did, and we handled it the right way, Hub. I couldn't wrap my head around the decision. I can't wrap my head around a guy walking up to a podium and saying into a microphone after the way that played out, "I like what we did, and I think we handled it the right way." I can't, Hub. I can't wrap my head around it or even react to that, because it's so mind-blowing. I don't even understand how a person says that and expects us all to believe that and to buy it. I don't get it, Hub. I don't get it. I don't even understand.
Well, I think at this point it's pretty obvious that there's only two possibilities. One is that Matt Eberflus is a very good defensive coach who shouldn't be a head coach for another game. That would be one answer. But the other possibility, I like the plan, I like what we did, we didn't execute it. The coach cannot criticize any of his players, especially his rookie quarterback, if they made the mistake. When the players are asked these questions by the media, they can't criticize the coaches. And so we're not getting, but so what you end up with is members of the media interpreting their answers and reporting that as information when it's not. It's just their interpretation of their answers. And so we still don't really know what happened those last three, whether I think it's on Flus at this point. I think that's pretty obvious. But it may have been that he had a plan and a call and that they weren't executing it properly. That's what he was saying. And I'm not going to criticize him for the way he says it. I don't care about that. But I keep saying the same. We don't know who's responsible. Well, Flus is responsible. He's the head coach. But we don't know whose fault it was, whether it was his, whether it was Brown's fault, whether it was Williams' fault. We just don't know because we're not part of those conversations.
Well, I think Caleb Williams had a rookie moment there. To me, that's pretty obvious. He lost track of the clock and had a rookie moment there. But it's on the head coach. Hub, I said when the season started, and I've repeated this line to you a couple of times. Before the season started and they had Caleb Williams, I said, I don't think we should have to choose between developing a quarterback and winning games. I think we should be able to do both, and that's despite what will be Caleb Williams' rookie moments. I expect the veterans on this roster to play well enough and do things that lift the team up and do enough to win when Caleb Williams has those moments. And I expect the coaching staff to do things to put him in a better position and to do things to lift the team up and to win games when he has those rookie moments. If Caleb Williams is having a rookie moment and that clock is just ticking away, when the ball isn't snapped by 18 seconds, the head coach has to go, whoa, 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 whoa. Whatever we were planning, stop. Timeout, stop. We have 18 seconds to throw the ball. And if it's a completion over the middle of the field, plenty of time to go and spike it, get the field goal team on the field, or you go towards the sidelines. But do something. You can't keep just stand there with that look on his face, watching this thing play out the way that it played out. That's unacceptable. It's just flat out unacceptable for an NFL head coach to stand there and just watch that happen. I couldn't believe what my eyes were seeing, Hub. And even though it's on Caleb Williams that he had that rookie moment, I'm okay with him having rookie moments. I'm not okay with my third year head coach having rookie moments and seeming not to know what to do as the clock is ticking away in close NFL games.
You know, Rami, I checked everywhere I could because I knew we were coming on this morning. I wanted to try and have some answers. And you know, at the end of the day, I watched all of these experts, you know, the people on the air, on TV, on the radio, listening, you know, former coaches, you know, people who I respect to try and get their take on it. I have never heard so many former coaches and players be so critical of a head coach on the air without them knowing any more than we knew about what the communication was between him and his players and coaches. It was just a lot of them have never seen anything like this. And that's why we are where we are right now. And that's why, you know, I have probably been, I don't know about the last, but one of the last defenders of Matt Eberflus up until a few weeks ago in saying, you know, you have to get the whole story. You have to see how you develop this rebuild. You have to understand what he's trying to do. And I would do it again up until a couple of weeks ago based on what had happened so far. But with what's happened in the last couple of weeks, he has failed to make decisions at the end of three games that they had pretty much won or should have had won, all of which they lost because he didn't make the decisions, not because he made the right or wrong ones. They just didn't. And so
yesterday he literally didn't make a decision. He literally stood on the sidelines and watched the clock run out. It's insane.
There is an explanation for that somewhere, and I'll get it at some point. But we're not going to get it today.
I don't know that we ever will. 312-644-6767. You know that voice. That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. We're with you on a Friday morning after a heartbreaking, mind-numbing, another heartbreaking and mind-numbing loss by the Bears on Thanksgiving to the Lions. And we want to hear from you guys all morning long because we know you got to get some stuff off your chest. 312-644-6767. The text box is filling up, and we see you guys there on hold. And we're going to hear from you next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 67.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The score.
Matt, throughout the losing streak, you've been saying, I need to do a better job, I need to do a better job. Are you concerned about your job security at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the NFL. You know, and I know where it is, and I'm just going to put my best foot forward, and, you know, I'm going to get to work and keep grinding. So that's what we do.
Do you expect that you will stay on as coach this coming week?
Like I said, I'm just going to keep grinding and working, and that's what I do.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
On a Black Friday, hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Other than that Bears loss, as Matt Eberflus finds yet another way to screw things up, and they fall to the Lions 23-20 as time just ticks, 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 ticks off the clock, and he stands there watching it happen. We want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. Yes, Matt Eberflus is still the Bears head coach, as far as we know, as of 6:28 Central Time this morning. Hub Arkish, I'm sure, will be one of the first to hear if that changes.
Well, we're going to know something within the next few hours, and I think what everybody needs to understand is that they have to have answers before they make statements.
Right.
You know, this isn't a question about is Flus going to survive or not. It's what are you going to do next? Because is there an assistant coach on that team right now? Not an assistant coach, but another coach besides Matt who can take over and in these next 5 weeks continue to develop this team, all the young talent, all the people that you have. You have to know who that is. They didn't go to Detroit with that in mind.
Right.
And so they just need it. We're going to find out in the next few hours what they've decided, but you need some time. You can't say we fired our head coach and we don't have an interim guy ready to put in place. So that's what they were doing last night and what they're doing at 4 o'clock this morning, 6 o'clock this morning. We're going to know in the next few hours what the plan is for the next few weeks. But I think what everybody needs to understand is that nothing is gained by the Chicago Bears organization in firing Flus just because fans are so mad at him. You know, you fire him because you have a plan as to how to get better. Now, is that plan somebody who can step in and continue to develop this rebuild and make progress? Or is that plan to start another rebuild? You know, you just don't know.
God,
right
no,
now.
Don't say that.
Well, that's not.
No, please.
But that's where I'm going.
Right, no, I get you. There is I get you.
Obviously too much talent on this team to be 4-8.
Exactly.
Exactly. And there may be enough talent on this team to be 8-4, but is that guy in place in the building to get to continue to do that. That's what they're trying to figure out right now.
Clay Harbor is going to join us a little later in the show, 9-year NFL veteran and CHSN NFL analyst. And I got this stat from him on Twitter at Clay Harbor. First team, because you just said the roster is too good for them to have this record. First team since 1955 to have scored more points than they've given up with four or less wins in week 12 or later. First team since 1955 to do that. So, we should know in the next few hours what's going on with Matt Eberflus, if he is the head coach or not. One thing that is odd, and we mentioned this in the first hour, Hub, and to our knowledge, nobody else has received any correspondence as to what media availability there will be for Matt Eberflus or anyone else today. And that's something that we would usually know by now.
You know, here's another point that I know nobody wants to talk about now. And it's not in defense. There is no defense of Matt at this point. I mean, you know, he's made his bed. This is where you're at. And the McCaskey's job is to make sure that they have the best head coach in place. And it would appear after the last 3 weeks that they don't. But the flip side of that is how has his team played in the second half the last 3 weeks? They've made, you know, three remarkable comebacks, and they've been in position to make, you know, incredible wins. He's the head coach who did that too.
Right.
He's not the worst coach in NFL history. He's not even necessarily the worst head coach ever, but he can't continue as the Bears head coach after what's happened so far. And that's what makes this so complicated and why it's taking a little bit longer than anybody will accept for them to tell you what's coming next.
All right, let's get to the phones. Phone lines are lit up. Text line is lit up as well. So let's get to some of you and let you get some of this off your chest at 312-644-6767 as you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Out to the phones and Keith on the road. Keith, you're on the score. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hub, I don't disagree with the statement you just made about comebacks and being in games late. My question is, why is there no ability to make in-game adjustments in the first half on the sideline? They have to wait until halftime when they get in the locker room to make changes. I mean, the defense was on the field for multiple double-digit play drives. The offense had all kinds of time to sit over there in the first half to make adjustments. Why do we have to wait until after they come out of the locker room to start the second half?
You know, Keith, I don't have an answer for you, and I agree with you. You're absolutely right. It's frustrating. It doesn't make any sense. But it also, the one thing it does give us a little bit of an answer to is what they're doing right now is trying to figure out how to fix this, because those terrible first halves are not all on Flus. Is fixing it in the second half, all to his credit? No, nobody's going to credit him for that. And I don't have an explanation for you as to why they've started so badly, why they play so much better in the second half. But it is one of the reasons they're going to have to make a change. And I think what fans need to understand is before you're in such a hurry just to get him fired because you're mad at him, who in the building is going to do better or continue to move in the right direction? I don't know that there is anybody in the building right now. And that might be a reason, even though nobody wants to hear this, to wait until after the season to make the change. Because he obviously is doing some things fairly well in developing some of these guys. Not enough to remain the head coach. But this is what is making this complicated for them at the moment.
Here's a text from the 262. You have to fire Eberflus and see what Thomas Brown can do the rest of the year before you move on from Brown and hire an offensive-minded head coach next year. Brown deserves a chance the rest of this year. And I've heard that sentiment from others, Hub. I just don't know, like, this guy just got promoted to offensive coordinator this year. He's going to go from passing game coordinator to offensive coordinator to head coach in a matter of weeks, in literally a matter of weeks. Like, that's a lot to throw at a guy. And I'm not saying Thomas Brown doesn't or won't eventually get a chance to be a head coach in this league, but those are some big leaps that a guy is making in a matter of just 3 or 4 weeks since firing Shane Waldron.
Well, and here's exactly the point I'm trying to make is ooh, Thomas Brown has done some good things in the last 2 weeks. But why is Thomas Brown not at all responsible for the terrible first halves the last 3 weeks? I mean, you know, he's been the offensive coordinator for 3 weeks. You don't know what you have there. There's a reason that he wasn't the offensive coordinator until 3 weeks ago. And it's just not an automatic answer. You know, he may not be prepared to be ahead. We just don't know yet. And I don't know if the McCaskies know, but they have to make that decision. But here, the better question, I can't remember if I've already asked this or not, but I'm going to ask it again because I think it's important. Who is making this decision, George McCaskey or Kevin Warren, who is the president of this team.
You asked that before the mics were up.
Because I think...
No, I know.
That's something that we don't know, you know, and
you know... And you asked that, we were talking before the show, yeah. Hub, and you asked that question. I noticed you didn't say Ryan Poles. You said George McCaskey or Kevin Warren. You didn't say Ryan Poles when you asked who's making this decision. Why?
I didn't say that because I know Ryan Poles reports to Kevin Warren. But if Ryan Poles were to go to Kevin Warren and say, I got to make a change, then it's done. Then it's easy. But I think Poles and Flus have been pretty well coordinated together in what they've been doing. And I don't know... If Ryan believes that Flus, I don't know what he believes on that, you know, but the answer is that if he wants to do it, he has to go to Kevin Warren first.
I don't know how, and whoever is making the decision, I don't know how anybody can watch what happened yesterday, Hub. And again, I laugh because all you can do is laugh. I don't know how anybody can watch what happened yesterday and go, yeah, that guy should be our head coach for another week. But the only thing that makes me reconsider that is what you said, which is who? Like, who's going to step up and be the head coach for the rest of this year? Because they don't have a lot of candidates on the staff right now with the credentials to step up into interim head coach. And all of them share some of the blame in what's going on and why they're here right now. Like you just said about Thomas Brown and the first half struggles that have continued. For everything that he improved on, the first half struggles that have continued since they fired Shane Waldron. That has to be the only thing that's giving any pause to anyone who's involved in making this decision to fire or not fire Matt Eberflus. This is just like, well, we don't have anybody in house who we just hand the reins over to that we trust more than we do this guy, as little as we do trust him, and given what we've seen the last few weeks.
You know, there's a couple things that we're not talking about because we're all frustrated right now. But another point that I think is really critical, they do have their future franchise quarterback. When you look at the way Caleb Williams has played through 12 games, but especially in the last 3 weeks, the way he's managed these second half comebacks, the way he's carrying himself, I am happy with where Caleb Williams is at right now. Not with the way he, you know, handled the last 32 seconds to whatever part of it was his fault. I just don't know. But at this point, it looks like you finally do have your franchise quarterback. Now, you want to take advantage of continuing to develop him in the next 5 weeks, and you don't want to make it worse by putting somebody worse in charge as your head coach. And that's just a hard thing to figure out right now.
312-644-6767. Let's go out to my old stomping grounds of Palatine and Kevin. Kevin, you're on the score. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. 2 points here. Hub, I don't want to misquote you. Did you literally just say on this radio station that the McCaskies have to put the team in the best position with the coach? Because if you just said that, being a Michigan man, and they had the opportunity to hire a coach that has proven everywhere he has gone. Hub, is there anyone in the universe that thinks Matt Eberflus is a better coach than Jim Harbaugh? I got a second question for you. But Jim Harbaugh is out there. But this team is so afraid. This is the most chicken franchise when it comes to having anyone with a personality since Ditka. They don't want anyone outshining the franchise. Harbaugh should be the head coach right now. So did you really just say that out loud? Here's the second thing.
Let me just answer your first part. Because, yeah, no, I didn't.
Said that out loud.
I didn't just say that out loud, but what was your question? All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The question is, did you really say the McCaskies are trying to put the team in the best position with the coach? The best coach for this team was Jim Harbaugh, but no one up there had the stones to hire him.
Can I answer your question? Let me answer that part of your question, because nobody wants to hear this, but it's a fact, okay? No, I didn't say that the McCaskies were trying. All I said was the McCaskies' decision as to what to do next. That's the only thing I said about the McCaskies. But I will tell you, Jim Harbaugh wasn't taking a phone call from the Chicago Bears about the head coaching job, okay? Jim's a friend of mine. I've known him a long time, obviously, you know, and I can tell you that Jim Harbaugh was not coming to Chicago. And now, that's not necessarily the reason that they didn't try and make the phone. I don't know if they tried to make the call or not, but that wasn't going to happen. Bears fans need to accept that. Stop saying, why isn't Jim Harbaugh? He wasn't going to be the Bears coach. He was going back to California.
Jim or Kevin, what was your other question?
Here's the second question. Cole Kmet, Mercedes Lewis, Keenan Allen. None of these guys are known as bad guys, bomb throwers. They have all said this team doesn't practice hard enough. this team isn't coached well enough. And Hub, I know you said everyone's reading through the lines. Keenan Allen said, look it up. You're covering the team. He said after the game yesterday, the players did enough to win. You went to Michigan. You're not a dumb guy. If you don't understand that that is him saying, our coaches suck, Hub, you got to wake up. Enough. Get with it.
I don't think Hub would disagree with that.
Yeah, I didn't hear Keenan Allen say the players did enough to win. Did he say that?
We'll hear it. Yeah. We'll hear it. We'll hear it coming out of the break. He actually did say that, Hub.
I'm not denying. I didn't hear that. But that's not an answer to anything, because did he also say the players did enough to lose? Because they did do enough to lose. What was the score at halftime? If you want to know what the players did to lose, so okay.
We'll hear that soundbite from Keenan Allen, and we'll hear more from you at 312-644-6767. That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf. Phone lines are full, and we're going to get to you. Text line is full, and we're going to hear from you as well. And we'll also hear from Clay Harbor coming up at 7:20. Get his thoughts on another heartbreaking, mind-numbing Bears loss on Thanksgiving, 23-20 to the Lions. And we're back right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Is there a common theme to all of these kind of heartbreaking losses?
I feel like we did enough to win. That's the common theme.
We're back with more Rami Makhlouf and Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
You know, and it is Rami Makhlouf, Hub Arkish. Going to hear from you at 312-644-6767. I saw that soundbite, well, the clip of it, on Twitter, Hub. I didn't hear the question that was asked along with it until just now coming out of the break. And a caller before the break mentioned Keenan Allen saying the players did enough to win. He wasn't just talking about yesterday's game. The question is, what has been the theme in these close losses that you guys have suffered? And he said the players have done enough to win. He's talking about multiple times where he believes the players have done enough to win. And he's essentially saying some decisions that were made by folks on the sidelines are why we didn't win those games, or at least, and you said it, and you're right, when we start doing that and reading into what these guys are saying, it's a dangerous game, but that's what it sounds like to me, and I think a lot of other people, when he says the common theme in these close losses is we as players did enough to win. It sounds like he's saying the coaches kind of didn't.
Yeah, I can see how somebody would take it that way, but my answer to Keenan Allen would be, did you watch the first half of the game? No, you guys did not do enough to win. Now, we're getting inundated with text here, which is great. We appreciate that.
Yes, and want to get some calls, too.
You know, we don't need one more text or one more person to tell us it's Flus's fault. Everybody knows that. Nobody's defending him. Nobody's saying it isn't the coach's fault. But we're trying to figure out, you know, what's next and how does this get any better for anybody? And where do the players fit in all this? And that's why I made the comment I did before the last break. You know, it's not, the players can't criticize their coaches publicly. The coaches can't criticize their players publicly. We don't know what's going on between the coaches and the players, but that's why I make a point of being at Hallis Hall every day I can during the week to be with the coaches and players and hear how they're interacting and see what they're doing. And I can tell you, at least prior to going to Detroit on Thursday, and I kept hearing this, oh, he's lost the locker room. No, he hadn't lost the locker room. These players are listening to Flus. Flus is listening to his players. They've been working together. I'm not saying working well together. Obviously, it's the head coach's fault when things happen like have happened the last few weeks. But at the end of the day, you got to sort through all this. This is where Ryan Poles comes in. This is his job now, is how do I get this fixed? You know, and I think those are the answers that they're working on right now, and that we hope we're going to hear at 9 o'clock if there is some type of meeting or presentation.
And again, to our knowledge, Matt Eberflus still employed by the Bears. We should know in the next few hours if that remains the case, and we'll let you know as soon as we know right here on 670 The Score. Let's go out to the phones, though, and get to Eric. Eric, you're on The Score with Rami and Hub. What's up, buddy?
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I just wanted to mention something and about Eberflus and the last play. And I also wanted to mention something about the Lions on that last play. Okay. Rather than just stand there and watch the clock tick away, it's like the guy doesn't have a plan B. Just in case something happens and that plan doesn't work, you can't live for tomorrow as far as timeouts. You have to take the timeout right now. And, you know, you got to make that happen, because obviously, if you put that in your pocket, you might not get a chance to use it. The other thing I was going to mention is, you know, with the Lions, is they're doing army crawls after a sack. You know, if the Bears could have got up to the line and called the play, they probably would have got a 5-yard penalty for the Lions being in the backfield on offsides. And getting back to Eberflus, he's got the horse blinders on, and he just stands there and watches the clock. It's like, listen, you have to adapt. If the play doesn't work, here's a man that's like, watch, he's driving down the street, and he sees bridge out. Nah, just keep driving. We'll see what happens. I mean, what the hell are you doing, man? Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate you making the call. That's essentially what he did, Hub. That's essentially what he did. Like, it took 32 seconds is such a long time. Like, Hub, if we just turned off our microphones and let silence go for 32 seconds, I think literal alarms would go off in the studio, in the station. Like, I do. I'm not even kidding. I think alarms would go off in the studio, and anybody tuning in would be like, what just happened? Like, it would be weird for it to be silent for that long. And that's apparently what was going through Matt Eberflus' head, was just silent, just like, well, this is what we called, this is what we're doing, we're going through with it, no matter how much time ran off the clock. And I can't, like, the other things he's done, I've been able to go, well, maybe I disagree with it, but maybe he was thinking this or he was thinking that. I can't come up with anything that makes sense for why you would sit there and watch the clock run off the way that he did yesterday. Like, it is, it's mind-numbing when I try and figure out what the hell happened in the last 30 seconds of that football game yesterday.
Yeah, there is no defending the way that Matt handled those last 32 seconds. It's that simple. There is no defense. You know, you can keep asking the question, but nobody's going to have a better answer for you. I've never seen anything like
that
before. I'm
sorry. Yeah. I will ask it again this morning because I'm trying to cope.
I understand.
I'm trying to cope, Hub.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I'm just trying to explain to others. Keep asking. We'll keep giving you the same answer. I mean, there is no explanation for that. But there is something else to think about. And I know this is going to upset some people again, but I can't help that because it's just me. Go back and watch the last play, the last throw. If Caleb Williams makes a good throw, they win the game.
They might have something there, yeah.
Oh, no, they win the game. Look at it. I mean, yeah. They're right there. He's 5 feet from the goal line. He's not being covered. And Caleb throws the ball, you know, 10 feet past him. Now, I'm not criticizing Caleb for this. At that point, that was craziness, and anything could happen. I'm just saying, but if Caleb had made the same throw he had made on his 10 or 15 prior passes, they win the game. And I think that's what Matt was referring to when he said we had a good plan. He didn't have a good plan. He should have stopped the clock. I'm not defending him, but I think that's what he was thinking when he said that.
I'm coping. You're coping. That's Hub Arkish. I'm Rami Makhlouf, and we want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. More from us on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on a Friday right after this.